The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Happy Friday, and another week has come and gone. We have the weekend, and I hope you have plans to have some fun and relaxation. It is Harry Cooper's night tonight, Travels with Harry. We're going to take a look at some photographs, and as you know, Harry is, without question, one of the most fascinating, real historians working World War II and beyond that exists on the planet. No one does it like Harry Cooper. He takes people to history, and they go through the events in micro, not macro. They look at the details, and it is fascinating. We get an idea. We get to walk along in the footsteps of Harry and his patrol members, and there are other things coming up we're going to tell you about, new patrols that are absolutely fascinating. And hopefully some of you will be able to go along. Admiral, are you there?
I am here.
All right. Are you doing this one from the bathtub like you usually do? Or are you out and dry?
No, I'm doing this from my daughter's house.
Oh. The old lady threw you out, did she?
No, my daughter's our new webmaster, so we're
busy
with her, getting a lot of things straightened out.
Very good, very good. Well, she's a supremely talented young lady, so this is good.
Oh, yeah, she's a bright young lady.
Oh, yeah. Well, congratulations to her, and well done, well done. You know, it's not a lot of fun when your life's work is in any way put on rickety foundations, and I'll leave it at that. I've been there. I've been through a lot of really crazy stuff, and
There's a story here. Jeff and I are aware of it, but there's been a little internal upheaval here with shark hunters, and we've got the problem solved.
All taken care of, as it should be.
Yeah,
no problem.
Shall we call it a tremor in the force?
There you go. Little vibration in the ether, that too.
Something like that.
All right. We are going to look at some photos tonight with Harry, but before we do that, let's just give people an idea of what's on the agenda, what's coming up.
In this year, we have two major patrols, maybe a third. These are tours, history tours, but because thanks to the suggestion of my very good friend, Hans Georg Hess, the youngest combat submarine commander probably ever in history, he suggested we should call them patrols. So we have had the Southern Patrol for decades, but unfortunately there's been some problems with the people who put on the most important part, which was the Ulrichsberg Memorial, where they remembered everyone who fell in battle, no matter what uniform, no matter what flag flew over them, no matter Air Force, Army, Navy, Marines, American, German, whatever.
Sure.
Unfortunately, that group apparently has been infiltrated by Antifa or whatever.
People who don't like, in other words, people who do not want all soldiers honored for their contributions. I'm going to keep it broad here because that's what this whole event has been about. It's not a strictly German memorial. It's for all soldiers. So the people who infiltrated this and wrecked it clearly were after the German angle. And they don't give a damn about the rest of them. That's my view.
All right. And it's, well, no, it's put together by Austrian veterans of the war.
Yes, yes,
but,
yes.
Right, but they, I don't know where the hell they... where their mind is, they said they're not going to remember the soldiers anymore. Well, what's the sense of having a veterans organization to remember and honor the fallen soldiers if you're not going to remember the fallen soldiers? And the president of this group spoke before my Shark Hunters group last year, and he said, I still have it on, it's on tape, and I was just absolutely astonished when he said that. He said, the Waffen-SS were criminals. What the heck?
Now, wait, excuse me. Who said this again? Who said this?
He was the president of the group that's supposed to be putting this memorial together.
And how long was he involved with this project?
He's been there for a few years.
What virus was he injected with that drove him insane?
I don't know, but most people are not aware. You know, when you say SS, people, you know, people who don't know.
They don't know what it means.
The history.
They don't know what it means.
There were two organizations called the SS. The first was the Allgemeine SS, Allgemeine Sturmstaffel, which means the General Storm Squadron or the Storm Force. They were under Himmler. They're the ones you relate with. The camp guards, whatever. But then there was the Waffen-SS, which means the Schutzstaffel Force, which were the military guys. They were not camp guards. These guys were combat soldiers.
Sure.
They were probably the best there were in World War II. Some of the Americans I met who fought against them had nothing but the highest regard, highest respect for them, for their honor, their bravery, and for their determination. They had the worst attrition rate of any of the land forces because they just didn't know how to quit.
No, they stood. They literally, I've read enough. This is your life, but from my layman's perspective, these men were almost supermen. The way they adhered to military training and discipline in the face of absolute certain death. They would stand up, give orders, direct their tank crews, their artillery crews, knowing they were going to die, and they never cowered, they never turned, they never backed down. That's something that, look, this is just a fact. I'm not making this up.
Right.
And I'm not saying American boys and Brit boys didn't do the same thing, but the SS were almost to a man, cut from a different cloth. All right, let's just leave it at that.
Right, and the motto on their dress dagger said it all: "Meine Ehre sind Treue," my honor is loyalty, and that's it. So, you know, these guys were combat soldiers; they were not monsters. And for the guy to say that they were all criminals shows that either he doesn't know what the hell he's talking about, or
somebody got to him.
So anyhow, we're not going to that particular function this year, but we're having several of the same many of the same places, to Munich and some of the important historic buildings there, to Nuremberg, to many of the famous historic buildings there. And then instead of the Ulrichsberg Memorial, we're going down into Croatia. We have found some more tunnel and bunker complexes down there. Croatia is, I haven't been there in a few years, but it is a beautiful country. God, it's gorgeous. They were under the communist domination, you know, up until the hammer and sickle fell apart.
Right.
And so when I went there, it was about 4 or 5 years after communism left. It was like they hadn't turned the pages in the calendar at all. We were in a very nice hotel in Opatija, which is now called the Riviera, the Croatian Riviera. 16-foot high ceilings, 12-foot high double doors, old oak wooden doors. You open them up, and there's the Adriatic right in front of you there. That's the Sea of Ulysses. You know, this is where the Trojan War was going through, and it, just history, you know, the beautiful country. And they were still using their currency called the kuna, and they still use the kuna, but the euro is also infiltrating a bit. But so we'll be going there, and that's the one major patrol.
Let me say something, if I might, about Croatia.
Sure.
This is odd.
Sure, jump in.
Irony, because it must be maybe a week ago, 5-6 days ago, I happened to see something, you know, on the right-hand side when you're on YouTube, they'll have, look at this. Well, one of them said, World War II, Nazi, the usual Nazi. Remember, the Germans didn't use the term Nazi, okay? That was a British, an American intel public programming derogatory term. All right. It said World War II Nazi field cemetery excavated. What this was, and I watched it, was a group of Germans who go around looking for these field graves where they had to bury the dead, often in coffins, sometimes without, and they dig them up and they recover the skeletal remains of the troops, and they bring them home with full honors and rebury them in Germany. And that's what it was. And I was mesmerized at this. They use a backhoe, and they buried these men 5-6 feet down. And they would dig them up, clean each skeleton, lay all the bones out. But the part of it that was absolutely gripping was that these men had died in field hospitals from combat wounds, and they were then buried in just random graves, cemeteries. They'd put them in rows. There were 25 in this particular burial plot. And the wounds that these men died from were shown by way of the broken, shattered leg bones, the femurs, the arms, shrapnel wounds here and there. The bodies were all gone. Just the bones remained. No uniforms.
Right.
Just the bodies. But my God, these were horrific wounds. And what they would do, let's say a leg was shattered above the knee, they had some kind of a stabilizing device that the field doctors or the medics would put around the shattered leg and make the leg straight, and then wrap it with very strong cloth or maybe even rubber, I don't know, but they would wrap the leg straight, like a splint, okay? And these splints were still there next to the bones. And there were also tourniquets that were still there that had been placed, say, on an upper leg or an arm to stop and staunch the flow of blood. And it just gave you a clear picture of the horrors that all men and some women suffer in war. The bodies were just broken, shattered in many ways, and the way they were respectfully and with great dignity, dug up and returned home to Germany. They had dog tags, not all, most, and the dog tags were in each case cleaned. They were being sent back for cleaning, and they would be obviously attached to those skeletal remains and reburied. Name, rank, serial number. And the reason I remember this is because they were in a Croatian division. That was the name of their division.
Oh, yeah. Right. Right. The German military recruited lots of soldiers from the countries that they came through. They conquered or liberated.
Well, not only recruited, hell, as you know, they had volunteers coming out of their ears because those people not want to be under the hammer and sickle of Soviet Russia. They didn't want anything to do with communism.
That's true. But if you listen to the lamestream media, they were enslaved by the Nazis. There were no Germans in the war, only Nazis.
That's right. All right, well, that's what Harry Cooper does. He straightens out history and presents it as it really happened to the very best of his and all of our ability to understand that the winners write the story. And better than that, I guess I could say, the winners write the lies. Because the lie is history. It's not the truth. So much of it is corrupted.
That's true.
Yeah, well, this is just me talking. I don't want to get anybody in trouble, but I've studied World War II far long enough to know that what Harry is doing is unique on the planet, and it should be, and I know many of you listening right now realize what I'm saying all too well. This is one of a kind. His service to all of us is utterly extraordinary, and I really honor you for that.
Well, thank you. I'm kind of flattered. Incidentally, your listeners can go to our website. Excuse me, we just had a big Chinese dinner over at P.F. Chang's, and I'm still burping. They can go to sharkhunters.com and see what we're all about. Take a look at, we got all sorts of stuff there. And we publish a magazine, and if your listeners will just send an email to me at sharkhunters@sharkhunters.com and say they heard us on the show, we'll send them electronically. We'll send them a free copy of the magazine. You get it. You've been getting it for what, six, seven, 8 years?
I don't know how you do what you do, except if I didn't do what I do, I wouldn't believe you could do it. But knowing how hard you work and how hard I work, it's possible, but it ain't easy.
Well, that's right. We don't have a life.
No.
That's what my daughter was just telling us at dinner tonight. She says, I can go any place I want. I can do anything you want. But you, Dad, you're stuck to your office. Well, that's the path I've chosen. I love the work I do. As you know, nobody gets paid here at Shark Hunters. I'm living on our retirement. But I met so many of the greats from the U-boats. Otto Kretschmer, I had a sleeping room in his house. Eric Topp, I was in his house I don't know how many times. Reinhard Hardegen, who just died about 8 months ago at age 105. And all the greats, they gave me their story. They networked me with other U-boat veterans. I was in their home sometimes when they'd call another U-boater and say, hey, this guy Cooper's here. And he's an honest man. He's doing our history. I'm sending him over to talk to you. Eric Topp did that with a couple of the U-boat skippers and opened the door. So I gave them my word I was going to keep their history honest. And that's what we're doing. We've got 27 books in print right now with a bunch more coming out this year, all about mostly about the U-boats, but some about the flyboys. And also the Hitler Escape trilogy. As you know, I'm the guy that discovered Hitler Escaped, and we published that more than 20 years ago.
Yes, sir.
Best-selling book. Yeah, our
Escape
best-selling
from
book
the
came
bunker.
Out in 2000. That's it. And then our best-selling book came out in 2006, Hitler in Argentina. And then somebody...
Where'd that title come from? I've heard that.
that before to Hitler in Argentina, and then you gave us the subtitle, The Documented Truth of Hitler's Escape. And then somebody, I won't say who, but they came out with a TV series about it, which was partially hysterical and partly historical.
Yeah.
So, and they got paid for their work, I'll bet you.
Yeah. Well, most of these things that all of you will see, and I'm speaking to the choir here, of course, on cable or on any kind of television platform that have to do with this, are largely derivative, that means stolen, from Harry Cooper's work and his wonderful network of special agents, okay? These people have contributed mightily. And the book Hitler in Argentina is a must read. There are three books in the trilogy. Just incredible material. You'll never see it on the big screen. You might see it in a documentary form, honestly done at some point, but right now there are pieces here and there.
Hope.
And yeah, we hope. But
we've been talking to a producer down in Buenos Aires. He wants to use Hitler in Argentina, but to fictionalize it and make it a docudrama rather than a documentary.
Ah, yes.
So,
got it.
Would be nice if we come to an agreement. They'll actually send me a check. Wow.
Well, in any case,
that goes to Shark Hunters anyhow. It doesn't go to Harry Cooper.
There is a documentary out there, and I believe it's 6 hours long. It's called The Greatest Story Never Told. It's the...
Oh, boy, I've seen... It's incredible.
Yeah, that's what I hear. It's the real truth about Germany and Adolf Hitler, what really happened,
right,
as much as you're going to ever get in a video documentary format.
I didn't see the whole thing all the way through, but I saw snippets four or five years ago. I was in Honduras visiting one of our members down there, a guy named Till Sass, who was born in Germany during the war. His dad was in the Wehrmacht, was killed in action. His mother brought Till, moved to the United States, became American citizens. Mm-hmm. And I met him in the Bahamas a million years ago when I was a yacht bum living on my boat. And then he moved to Honduras, had a dive shop, and he owned a restaurant and a bar and a dive shop.
Mm-hmm.
And he and another one of his guys who doesn't want to be identified, who's former CIA, they brought that over, and we were watching. I didn't watch it all the way through, but boy, that's an excellent...
Everyone who's seen it just is stunned by it, how honest it is, how... I mean, you know, there are so many tricks used to distort and corrupt reality. I remember seeing movies when I was a kid of Adolf Hitler, and he looked like an animated madman with this high-pitched voice like an enraged, insane Mickey Mouse. Well, what had happened is they had sped the damn thing up, the audio,
right,
almost double, enough to make him sound crazy. When you hear his normal speaking voice, you begin to understand the reality of what happened for those years. And it's a lot different than we're told.
It is.
All right. Hold on.
By the way, let me interrupt.
Yeah.
Oh, I hear the music. We
got to
sell some product.
No, you go ahead.
I just got an email. You know, the biggest attackers against shark hunters are the Southern Poverty Law Center, sometimes called the Spitlickers.
Yeah, they just got nailed. Uh-huh.
Yeah, one of our members, Carter Maneri, sent me a news clip. There's at least two actions against them for RICO.
Yeah.
And several more waiting in the wings. Oh, wouldn't that be a shame? RICO, boy, if they get caught criminally in RICO, they lose everything.
Well,
wouldn't that be a sad, sad thing?
The saddest part of it is they'll just reformat. The machine will put them back together with a different name, refund and refinance and recapitalize them. But it would be good. Yeah, RICO statutes are not to be messed with. That's basically gangsterism is what it is. All right, hold on a minute. We'll be right back with Harry. Pop Poverty Law Center, the SPLC. It has now been sued by an immigration watchdog group after the left-leaning arbiter of social justice, the SPLC, labeled it a...
Leaning.
They fell over years ago. labeled this immigration watchdog group a hate group, right? The Center for Immigration Studies is the name of the group, says the SPLC's accusations that it is racist and anti-immigrant are wrong and have cost the nonprofit support and financial backing by scaring people away from doing business with the center. The center brought its challenge to U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia by filing a civil complaint under the Racketeering Influence and Corrupt Organizations RICO Act against SPLC President Richard Cohen and Heidi something, who runs the group's...
Heidi Byrick.
Who runs the group's Hate Watch blog, all right? So they throw this word hate around, and...
I love it.
Oh, man, they've made so much money with that. Let me go back and say one other thing about World War II and the SS. And again, soldiers from all sides fought with inhuman valor at times. It's just that the SS was fighting... Remember, Germany's only the size of Texas, and they were taking on the world. And these men actually fought so far above... They were what we'd call today super soldiers. And that's a term that's used, and correctly so. We had super soldiers. The Americans had. We had some. But when you talk about 99% of the SS was of this discipline, of this commitment, it's... I've talked to German women, two of them, and they were in the what became East Germany, and they started crying when they talked about the SS and how they fought to protect them as they were being beaten back ever further into Germany. She said the boys... Right. She said those boys were supermen. She couldn't believe it that one, and they both wept. It's no joke. So it's a very sad thing. I would urge all of you, if you're interested in real history, look into General George Patton, read his letters to his wife. Understand, if you're new to the program, General Patton was murdered by various elements within the Western military-industrial complex because of his position that we fought the wrong enemy in World War II and that international socialist communism was the real enemy on the planet. And Patton was proven to be correct. So
he paid for that. He was also asking what happened to the $3 billion worth of gold that disappeared out of the Reichsbank.
Yep. So anyhow...
You don't want to cross the international bankers.
No. That's it. All right. We want to do is draw all of your attention now to our guests section at Rents, Rents News, Rents.com, and look for Harry. Right there, he's the first guest up. And under his name, there is some text. That's a link. And I want you to click on that link and bring up the photos page.
Okay?
Just click, it says More Travels with Harry, and click on that, and you'll bring up the page. These are thumbnail-sized photos. There's a whole batch of them. When you click on each one of them, they magically leap into an enlarged size. Yeah, and thanks to Norberto Miguel for putting this together again, my webmaster, as he always does so incredibly well and efficiently. So we've got pictures to look at. And did you finish with your next patrol? You talked about Croatia, and we want to finish with that real quick.
Yeah, we'll get into that. But let me give you a quick aside, though. You mentioned Heidi Sutz, whatever. She's actually Dr. Heidi Byrick, and she's referred to as their lead attack dog. Uh-huh. She called once to interview me, And it was easy to see where she was going. Oh, you got these German members, must be Nazis. And, you know, Ronald Reagan's a member, too. And so were a lot of Russians. They didn't know they were Nazis. And the four Medal of Honor-winning American submarine commanders were members. Admiral Flucky was a guest in my house. He was on our board. And her nickname is Fat Heidi because she's a 550-pound lesbian. So... And then before we get into the switching gears, let me say welcome aboard to John Ellis. We just got an application there from John Ellis. He just joined Shark Hunters while we're on the air.
Very
welcome
good.
Welcome aboard, John.
Welcome, John, indeed. You're going to have a lot of fun. You're going to really experience history like you've never been able to do it before.
Yeah, we have a great bunch. They're the ones that make it all great. I just kind of shuffle the cards.
Yeah. All right, Shark Hunters... .com is the website, and that's your destination. Tonight, we're looking at pictures, so we've got a whole bunch of them up there. And we'll start out with top row, left one. Number, are you online there, my man, looking at these?
Yes, sir, you betcha. I finally figured it out. I'm old and stupid here. I'm as computer savvy as a box of rocks, I think, but thanks to people like my daughter helping me out here. Anyhow, these pictures you're going to see are what we've done on previous tours, and it's a preview of what's coming up for this year, because we're going to go down to Bavaria, southern Austria, and Croatia. We also have a tour coming to Argentina and maybe Russia. As you know, I'm an honorary Russian submarine officer.
Yeah.
And I just a couple of days ago got an invitation from my St. Petersburg flotilla. They want us to bring a bunch of shark hunters over there to St. Petersburg. So we'll be seeing some pictures of that as well. Now, whether we put them together, we're going to find out.
Well, anytime you go to southern, the Austrian area, you're going to go to the Eagle's Nest, you're going to go, right?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. That is one of the most remarkable destinations on the planet, on planet Earth, for real history. And when you walk there, and I have never been able to do it, except in my mind's eye, it's extraordinary. We've done it on this program several times, but don't miss out on the opportunity to go if you can possibly do it. All right. Who's this rogues gallery? This is a patrol here. And, is that Christy?
That's Christy, right?
Yeah, I remember.
That's right. Christy.
Yeah.
She's a nice lady. She's such a nice lady.
Yeah. From Oregon, too.
That's correct. That's correct. And the guy, who I've got A1, that's our photo number right there, A1,
yeah.
The guy in all black with the fedora, that's Larry Kagan, Sergeant Major Larry Kagan, who's been on several tours with us. The guy, the very first guy on the left, that's Ezio Maiolini, he's been with us on quite a few. Then next to Christy, the guy with the watch cap, is Victor, he's been with us half a dozen tours. The guy way over on the right with his thumb in the air, Sid Aus, he was with us, I think, four tours.
The photographer, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. His photography is fantastic, and he's put together some video clips for us, too, that we post. People can ride along once we get the website running properly again. And that's me in the middle there in the jeans with the Air Force hat on. But this is at the entrance to Oktoberfest, and of course, we'll be at Oktoberfest when we go again this year to what we call a Southern Redoubt Patrol.
Yeah.
Because that's where the Allies thought that the hierarchy of the Third Reich was going to make their last stand. It's in this area.
Who's in the plaid shirt next to you again, on your left, our right, with the glasses?
That's Jerry. He was the guy that got stuck being the jester when we had our performance dinner in a castle. We'll do that again this year. We had our own separate room in this castle, which had been the chapel, and they did a skit. The warder from the castle came, and they made... I was the king. And we had to put on the proper clothing, and Larry Kagan, He was the judge. They gave him a wig and the robes. Jerry was the jester. Victor, with the watch cap here, he was the sinner. And there were a few other guys that you don't see in this film here. So the storyline was that Victor, the sinner, was condemned because he was a sinner. We don't know what he did to sinning, but he was a sinner. And the judge, Larry, sentenced him to be put in the stocks. And so he was put in the stocks. And all this time, Jerry in the jester suits is bouncing around the room. And Peter was the priest. He's not in this picture. He's an attorney from Carolina. He was begging for mercy, and Victor atoned for his sin after Larry beat him a couple of times with a whip that was made out of loose yarn. And so then he repented. So as the king, I knighted him. And Big Dog, who's not in this picture, is a huge, big Norwegian guy. He was the ogre, and so Victor had to go and slay the ogre, which he did. And so then I knighted him and gave him the virgin princess for his bride, which was Christy. And we just had a hell of a good time. That's on our YouTube website there, on Shark Hunter's YouTube. And then we ate the way they did in the old days. We each had a wooden board in front of us, and we got a big chunk of beef and pork.
Like
and
a chopping block.
Really,
exactly. Who's the guy in the red cap? We don't want to leave him out right next to you.
No, we don't want to leave out Sam. Sam is also from the Carolinas. He's also an attorney. This is his first time, but I don't think it's going to be his last time. And if you can look between him and Victor...
I see somebody in the background there, yeah.
Yeah, that's Rich Del Favreau. He's been with us on more tours than we can remember. And because of coming to Germany, he went and found a tutor in his city. And he learned German. He speaks German very well. And he goes every week to practice with his tutor. And so when I can't keep up with the conversation, he translates for us.
That's fun. All right. The idea is that this is a great opportunity to be with some wonderful people and see things that no one else will see. It's really that simple.
Yeah.
All right.
For sure.
Picture number two.
Number two, that's Sid, our photographer. Like I say, he's been with us. I think this is his fourth or his fifth. He's met some friends there at
Well, I was going to say three blondes, right? But
how does he look out like this? I never. But Sid is he's a professional photographer, and he's just a fun guy and a lot great to have along. And he's met some friends there.
Bless
his heart.
All right. The next picture is a young lady in a pretty green and blue dress at Oktoberfest. And go ahead.
Right.
Picture A3.
A3, the guy in the black sweater, that's Peter. He was the priest. He wasn't in the first picture. He's a retired commander from the United States Coast Guard. He's an attorney in the Carolinas. And the other guy, that's Sam, the guy that was in the red hat.
Oh, yeah.
And he's also an attorney. But neither one of them practice law. I think Peter is a town administrator or something like that. And Sam negotiates... anything I would say would be a guess. I can't remember. But this first tour for both of them, and they had a great time, and I'm sure we're going to see them again.
Very good. All right. Working our way across the top row of pictures, and we're still at Oktoberfest, and there's Cooper again. What are you doing now?
That gal was the main headliner. You know, they always have music going on, and
singer.
They have a stage that's up about 10 feet up with the band and the singer. She was the featured singer, and when she was on her break, she came down to our table, and she and I are singing Delilah. She sang real well. Tom Jones doesn't have to worry about me replacing him as Delilah's singer. We just have a hell of a good time there.
Yeah. That's nice. How many of these tents are at Oktoberfest? Now, Oktoberfest occurs in a number of cities. It's not just one area.
Right, but the original Oktoberfest was here in Munich, and it was the marriage feast of... it's huge. It was to celebrate the engagement or the wedding of Prince Ludwig, who became King Ludwig II.
Is that the mad... Did he go mad? Was that the mad king?
Well... Yeah. That's so the one speak. They call Mad Ludwig.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was mad or not, but he bankrupted the Bavarian treasury building castles. He built Neuschwanstein, which is the one that they copied Snow White's castle from. And they found him floating face down in the lake one morning, and that was the end of his spending money. But the big one is in Munich, and it was in October, but then the weather patterns changed, so that it was rainy in October, so they moved it to September. So many people in so many places in the U.S., they have Oktoberfest, and it's in October. Well, it ain't in October in Germany. The first weekend in October is the last of Oktoberfest. But there's people you don't even know. We sat at this table. There's about 10 people at the table, and when the Shark Hunters group went in there, we just scattered, and we had a meeting place. So there were three of us, me, Ezio, and Victor sat at this table with other people we didn't know from The Man in the Moon. Next thing you know, Victor, he's a single guy, he's holding hands and getting familiar with the lady beside him, whose husband was across the table from him sitting next to me. And nobody seemed to care, and everybody's singing, and everybody is everybody's friend. And there's about 10 or 12 tents, and it's now to celebrate the beers that are brewed in Munich. Each tent is a different brewery.
Mm-hmm. All right. Picture number 5 shows a very large structure. What is this? Is this a castle wall?
No, that's the stadium.
Well, that's the back. That's the back of the stadium. Okay.
No, this is the front of the stadium, just shot from a funny angle. You see that doorway up at the very top? That's the door that only...
Oh, it is a funny... Now I see it. I see it.
Right.
Yeah.
He'd come through that door. We go there. Anybody can go there and stand right where... Now, all these cement things here, these used to be seating areas. And where we're at, only the most important people could seat here or sit here.
Mm-hmm.
Then... But nobody ever bothers to wonder what's inside this huge, big tribunal. Well, if you look at picture number 6, now you see it. It's the famous Golden Room. And you see in the ceiling, all the swastikas are still inlaid in gold.
So somebody somewhere there has been smart enough to preserve this, at least to a reasonable degree, because of the tourism. It's all about money, and I guess if...
Well, tourists are not allowed in here. Nobody's allowed in here except special people. One of our members is the assistant mayor, and he's got the keys to everything. So,
okay.
But this big tub-looking thing, you see. Uh-huh. Go ahead.
What happens in this room? Tell everybody. What used to happen in this room?
Right. Where we're standing here, on your right side, those are stairways going up to the offices. Hitler's office is still there, although there's nothing in any of the offices. All the wood is gone, everything. It's just empty room. But that's where, ultimately, we go to the top and then come out. And all the seating was off to your right. But off to the left side, that's the back of the tribunal. And he would come in on a train that stopped at a station right behind the tribunal.
That station is still there, isn't it?
Yes, but it's no longer as a train station. It's a restaurant, and we always have lunch there. And the trains still run by, but they don't stop there. And he'd come into this room from the doors on the left, and there would be a reception room. So they'd be in here doing whatever they do for however long. He'd always wait till 15 or so minutes after the time he was supposed to be up on stage, and then he'd make his grand entrance. This is off limits, except, like I say, to special people. And now they can't destroy it because maybe about 10 years ago, I guess it was, they passed a law that everything built by the Third Reich was to be protected and not be torn down. So they're starting to renovate this place, restore it. But it's
when you say this place, you're talking about the stadium?
Yes.
Well, that's very smart because certainly they could use it for any number of events. This is a remarkable edifice. Well, good.
Yeah.
It's good to hear.
I don't think they've started with it yet, but, you know, it's there if they want to do it. So we'll be visiting there, I'm sure. That's in Nuremberg.
Very good. Okay. These are a little bit, we're jumping around a little bit. Picture A7 is up next. And
right,
that's the foundation
Nuremberg.
Of a very interesting structure, a little cabin that is no longer there.
Right. That is what was dubbed the Kampfhaus, K-A-M-P-F, Kampfhaus, because that's where Hitler finished writing his book, Mein Kampf. Right across the street was a big hotel and guest house, excuse me. And he and Rudolf Hess stayed for quite some time in that hotel, guest house, but they'd come across the street into this little cottage, and Hitler would dictate, and Rudolf Hess would write, and that's where he finished Mein Kampf. And somehow the pictures are all blurred here. I don't know how we managed to do that, because Sid is a good photographer. Maybe it was me copying it, but the only, excuse me, the only clear people we see is Christie right in the middle. But this is where that house once stood, and we visit there.
Is there a photograph? Is there a photo of the original Kampfhaus?
Oh, that's a good question. I imagine some exist somewhere. I don't have any, but I'm sure they exist somewhere.
Okay. We've got to get these pictures. I don't know if we can enlarge them without losing the resolution or not, but they should be a little bit larger.
We can, you know, if anybody wants to see them in higher resolution, remember I had to cut these down from high res to low res to for your webmaster to put them up. Your former webmaster, James, he used to have to cut them down, so I'd cut down the resolution so they'd fit. I could send them to you in high res, but then Norberto would have to cut them down, I think.
Well, I just want them bigger than what they are. I've got a magnifying glass. If you all out there don't have a magnifying glass and you're on a smaller screen, get a magnifying glass. They're very inexpensive. Get five inch Bausch and Lomb. Boy, it just makes all the difference in the world. This A9 is a beautiful fireplace. Where's that?
Right. The next one, that's on the famous Eagle's Nest, which was never called Eagle's Nest except by the Allies after they ran it over. It was built as and still is called the Kelstein House, which means the house on Kelstein Mountain. And that fireplace is red Italian marble that was donated by Mussolini in 1938 for the Eagle's Nest. And the view up there is incredible. You can see the castle in Salzburg, 20 kilometers away from up there. There's lots of pictures and little short video clips on our YouTube channel. Just click on Shark Hunters and previous tours, and you got all the still pictures, or go to the YouTube channel, and you got a couple of hundred little short 1 or 2 minute long video clips.
I didn't have a chance.
The videos are going to be posted.
Yeah, good. This
go
is
ahead.
Going to get better. I didn't have a chance to go through all these, but you need to send me, if you can, a couple pictures of the Eagle's Nest, the Kelstein House, from, mm-hmm. 150 feet away or where. You've got some pictures that show it. We can dump that in there, a couple pictures of the view. The elevator going up to this was drilled straight down in the top of this mountain. How far down did Bormann have it drilled? You get in the bottom and you go, it's like 400 meters or something?
I think that something like that. Yeah, you go on a bus that it's like you're on Mr. Toad's Wild Ride along with Panic Stricken Mountain, and you get up to a parking lot. And then you go down a long tunnel to the elevator, and it's a magnificently beautiful copper-lined elevator. It's the same elevator they all traveled on back in those days. The only difference is the seats are folded up. They had bench seats. They're no longer there, but because now they can put 40 people onto the elevator, and every time that elevator goes up, it's up and down in 1 minute. Every time it goes up, carrying 40 people that have spent $25 a piece just to be there. And that's why it's not Nazi, because they're making so darn much money on it. People come up there, they buy lunch, they have a couple beers maybe, or in the cold weather, they have Glühwein. Yeah, so each person probably leaves $50 there. So,
at least.
And 40 people per minute going up and down. You do the math, you know, 3, 4, 5 hours of
business travel.
Well,
that's why I said that it's too bad that this entire area should have been left as it was. No one had the foresight. They were all hung up on this evil thing. This Eagle's Nest was built by Bormann. Martin had an idea to give the Führer a birthday gift. This was a birthday gift. I don't know how they built it without him seeing it, but they...
Maybe it wasn't a surprise. Maybe he just was told, we'll have it. I don't know.
Very interesting. All right, hold on a minute. We have to pause. We'll come right back, take a look at some more pictures with Harry as we continue right after this.